Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the words of Thomas Mantone. Thomas Mantone was a Puritan, a nonconformist Puritan preacher, born in Lawrence Lydiat, the county of Somerset in England. He lived from 1620 to 1677, and actually I told you that already last time, because this is part two of his message on God's faithfulness from generation to generation. His text had been Psalm 119:90, you remember? Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The doctrine is confirmed by experience, he says. And he talks about that for a while. And we are just at the end of that section, just about, and then we'll get to section two in just a minute. But this report of God's gracious works and owning his covenant is a special means of edification. Why else should God enjoin it, but that the ages following should receive benefit thereby? Surely it is an advantage to them to hear how God hath demonstrated his faithfulness in ordinances and providences. And more particularly, I observe that this tradition of repeating God's works is a great means and help to faith, for it is said that they might set their hope in God, Psalm 78:7. And number six, let me quickly read just the titles of the first five. Number one was God's faithfulness relateth to some promise wherein he hath engaged himself to his people. Number two was his truth dependeth upon his unchangeable nature, but it is confirmed to us by experience. Number three, God hath been always careful to fulfill his truth, that the event may answer the promise, and we might know that God, who hath been faithful and kept touch with the world hitherto, will not fail at last. And number four, the experience of all generations doth confirm God's faithfulness in his promise. And then number five, the experience of God's faithfulness in former ages is of use to those that follow and succeed to assure them of God's faithfulness. Now number six, to be satisfied in point of God's faithfulness is of great importance to believers for several reasons. First, because their fidelity to God is much encouraged by his fidelity to us. They that do not trust God cannot be long true to him. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, Hebrews 3:12. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, that's James 1:8. One that doth not stick fast to God and is ever unresolved, being divided between hopes and fears concerning his acceptance with God. A wavering Christian is divided between God and some unlawful course for his safety, divided between God's ways and his own, and cannot quietly depend upon his promises, but is tossed to and fro. A wavering Christian doth not entirely trust himself in God's hands, but doth wholly lean upon his own carnal confidence. And then, because God is invisible and dealeth with us by proxy, by messengers who bring the word to us, we see not God in person. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's Hebrews 13:7. Their manner of living, their perseverance till death in this faith and hope. Third thing is, because the promises are future, and the primary fulfillment of them is to be accomplished in another world. Now, nothing will support us but the faithfulness of God. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Proverbs 11:18. Men think to be happy by their sin, but find themselves deceived at last. But none can be deceived that trust in the living and true God. And also then, because many of the promises contradict sense. When the soul is filled with anguish because of the guilt of sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. When the soul is filled with anguish from the power of sin, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. When the believer needs support in great distress, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we wonder how we will be able to stand in the judgment, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1:9. Here is a Christian's great security and support, God's faithfulness, testified by Christians now and in all ages, confessing they have found by their experience the Word of God to be true, for they have transmitted religion to us by their constant consent and left it to us under seal of God's faithfulness. And therefore we should persevere in our duty to God. Now, Roman numeral 1 that we began with was that this doctrine of the faithfulness of God was confirmed by experience. And now, the faithfulness of God, Roman numeral 2, as represented by an emblem. We should consider the earth the emblem of God's faithfulness, for it is a help to frequent meditation, as being always before our eyes. They are without excuse who see not God in this thing. Every time we set foot on the ground, we may remember the stability of God's promises, and it is also a confirmation of faith. Number one, the stability of the earth is the effect of God's word. This is the true pillar upon which the earth standeth, for he upholdeth all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast, Psalm 33:9. Now, his word of power helpeth us to depend upon his word of promise. God that doth what he pleaseth never faileth in what he promiseth. We see plainly that whatever standeth by God's will and word cannot be brought to naught. Whence is it? How came this world to have a being? It is the work and product of that God, whose word and promise we have in Scripture. Certainly the power of this God cannot fail. It is as easy for him to do as to say. Number two, nothing appeareth whereon the globe of the earth and water should lean and rest. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing, Job 26:7. Now, that this vast and ponderous body should lean upon the fluid air as upon a firm foundation is a matter of wonder. The question is put in Job 38:6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And yet, firm it is, though it hangs as a ball in the air. The globe of the earth is encompassed with the regions of the air and the celestial spheres, and hath no visible support to sustain so heavy a body hanging in the midst of so vast an expansion. And yet God had settled and established it so firm as if it rested on the most solid basis and foundation. Now, since his word beareth up such a weight, all the church's weight and our own burden leaneth on the promise of God. He can, by the power of his word, do the greatest things without visible means. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed, Luke 7:7. Therefore his people may trust his providence. He is able to support them in any distresses when no way of help and relief appeareth. Number three, the firmness and stability offereth itself to our thoughts. The earth abideth in the same seat and condition wherein God left it, as long as the present course and order of nature is to continue. He hath laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Psalm 104, verse 5. God's truth is as immovable as the earth. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 117, 2. Surely If the foundation of the earth abideth sure, the foundation of our salvation laid by Jesus Christ is much more sure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one tittle of the word and law of God till all be fulfilled. If the law given by Moses be so sure, much more the promises of salvation by Christ. For all the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him, amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Number four, the stability in the midst of changes. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes 1:4. When man passeth away, the earth stayeth behind him as a habitation for other comers, and abideth where it was when the inhabitants go to and fro and can enjoy it no more. All things in the world are subject to many revolutions, but God's truth is one and the same. The changes in the world do not detract from his fidelity in the promises. He changeth all things and is not changed. Though there be a new face of things in the world, yet we have a sure rule to walk by and sure promises to build upon. And therefore, in all conditions, we should be the same to God. There's no doubt, but he will be the same to us. Number five, in upholding the frame of the world, all whose attributes are seen, which are a firm support to a believer's heart, such as wisdom, power, and goodness. Wisdom. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Proverbs 3:19. Look on it. It is the work of a wise agent. And so for power, this great fabric is supported by his almighty power. His goodness is seen in that he hath made the earth to be firm and dry land, that it may be a fit habitation for men. This is a standing miracle of goodness. Luther saith, we are always kept as the Israelites were in the midst of the Red Sea. And the psalmist tells us God founded the earth upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Psalm 24:2. The part of the world on which we dwell would suddenly be overwhelmed and covered with waters were it not for the goodness of God. The order of nature shows that in the beginning of the creation, next under the air, were the waters covering the whole surface of the earth. Genesis 1:7. But God made such cavities in the earth as should receive the water unto them, and such banks as should bound and bridle the vast ocean that it might not break forth. Genesis 1:9. And though once, for the sins of the world, these waters were appointed to break out and overwhelm the earth, yet God hath firmly promised that they shall never do so again. In this promise, his truth is also verified and applied to the covenant of grace. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee, Isaiah 54:9. The covenant of grace is as sure as the covenant made after the flood, so that we cannot look upon this earth but as an emblem of those attributes which confirm our faith in waiting upon God till his promises be fulfilled to us. Roman numeral 3, application. Let us be then more firmly persuaded of God's faithfulness, that we may depend upon it, both for his preserving the church and ourselves in the way of our duty, until we enjoy our final reward. Number one, for the preservation of Christ's kingdom. God's faithfulness chiefly appeareth in the government of his church, or spiritual kingdom. And this is a kingdom that cannot be moved when all things else are shaken. Christ cannot be a head without members, a king without subjects. And we are told that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Many disorders happen, but let us depend upon the faithful God. The world was well guided before we came into it, and other generations have had experience of God's faithfulness, though we complain that we see not our signs nor any tokens for good. And number two, for the preservation of our bodies to the heavenly kingdom. We have many discouragements within and without, but while we persevere in our duty, God will not fail us. His word is as sure as the earth. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. God hath promised not only to give us our final reward, but to secure and defend his people by the way. That article is from The Complete Works of Thomas Manton, Volume 7. It's in the public domain. Next time we'll visit with Charles Simeon. Thank you so much for listening. Please look around the site while you're here. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers and persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you would desire even more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel. It's known as Pasture Lands, that's one word, buying one of my books perhaps at Amazon.com, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. I'll share details of our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men and our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. And this audio is being released on June the 20th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.